Lamentations 3, verse 15. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Inspiring Hope. Jeremiah the prophet is lamenting over the condition of his beloved nation, as well as the mistreatment that he had received at the hands of those who opposed him and his prophecies. Yet in the midst of all the sorrow, the affliction, the mistreatment, and fear, a ray of light shines upon his heart and his soul as he ponders the hope that he has in God. In God's salvation, and ultimately the eternal joys that he will one day experience because his portion is in God. He recognized where his hope, his strength, his peace, his salvation was. It was all bound up in God, who he called his portion. As Jeremiah thought upon the promises of God, hope blossomed in his heart as he came to the realization that no matter what he may have to endure in life, he had a bright future in glory. And you know, there's a New Testament version of this as well, where Paul the Apostle, after declaring that he was a joint heir with Christ and an heir of God, he said that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what shall be revealed in us in glory. You know, I have been greatly troubled about the spiritual condition of souls in my community, in the United States of America, and across the world. My heart aches every time I see hordes of hopeless souls take to the streets, rioting, pillaging, destroying property. They're filled with rage and fear and hatred because they have no real hope. And I want to change that. I want to personally commit to doing everything in my power to offer hope to people through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of God's grace that can change the foulest of sinners, the darkest of hearts. I know it. I've experienced it. Now first today, we're going to look at a definition of what hope really is. If we're going to inspire hope, we've got to understand what it is. Well, the dictionary version goes like this. The feeling that what is desired is also possible, or that events may turn out for the best. Hope is a person in whom or a thing in which expectations are centered. It means to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. It means to believe, desire, or trust. Now those are all definitions of the English word hope. And I think they certainly would all apply to Christ, salvation, our future glory. But you know, we have a biblical definition of hope that's revealed right here in the verses that we read. Biblical hope must have the proper object in view for it to be valid. He says in verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." And listen, if the Lord is your portion, you can have hope every single day because things are going to turn out well. No matter how bleak the circumstances may be, you've got the promise. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. If the Lord is your portion, I can guarantee you, you can have confidence that things are going to turn out well. And then, biblical hope involves faith. Look at verses 19 through 25. He says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." Biblical hope involves faith, a reflection on the promises of God that inspires confidence no matter what the circumstances are. You see, Jeremiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reflected on where he was and who he was trusting in, and the promises that God had made to him gave him peace and inspired him to hope. Biblical hope enables us to look beyond the present, to see the glories of the future because of the salvation that we have in Christ. Look what it says there in verse 26. "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." The deliverance. The ultimate deliverance. One day, I am going to be completely and forever free from this old body of sin and death. And I'm going to see the Lord as He is. I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to bask in the glory of His holiness. I've got a future that is undimmed, that is bright, that is glorious, that is wonderful beyond compare. I'm going to hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 31. "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies." So we have a biblical definition of what hope is right in our text.
You got to have the right object of hope. It's got to be God. You got to trust in His Word to have confidence in His promises. And then you've got to learn how to feast on the future. When things get rough and hard and difficult, don't be so overwhelmed by your current circumstances. Realize that because of the promises of God, you've got a much brighter future. And learn to feast on that. Learn to rest in that. Now, when I started thinking about this title of this message, Inspiring Hope, I know what hope is. Then I thought, what a difficult task. To inspire hope in others is nearly an insurmountable task. For several reasons. Most people have misplaced hopes. In men, in government, in their possessions, their education. Their hopes are spurious and false. And that's the reason why many people live in quiet desperation and disappointment. Because their hope is placed in things that really never give them lasting security and peace and joy. And every time they place their hopes in a man or a system or in money or in possessions, they find out that they're going to be sorely disappointed. This is why it's a difficult task. The Bible says in Job 27:8, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul?" Job 8:13, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish." Many people in our world have no connection to God. No faith in His Word. No belief in His promises. No desire for His Christ. And many, sad to say, are educated to doubt and disparage God and His Word. The very source, the very substance of real hope, so many people are taught, don't believe a word of it. It's not real. You can't see it, feel it, touch it, taste it. So many don't regard God as their Creator. And they feel as though their origins are uncertain. You think about that. Anybody that believes in evolution, they really have no idea where they came from. They don't have any confidence where they're going. They have no connection to the God of this universe, who created all things, who sustains all things. And their conscience makes them feel guilty over sin. Talk about people that don't have any hope, that are frustrated, that are full of fear and rage and anger and hatred. They feel guilt over their sin. But without God, they're consumed with guilt and hatred and feelings of worthlessness. They have a poor self-image, and with no hope, what do? What's happened in our world? people are educating our young, don't trust the Bible. Don't believe God is a creator. Don't believe the preacher when you go to church. And you know what? In large part, we are seeing societies all across the world where God is being purged from the public scene, from the public forum. It's happened in England. It's happened in Europe. It happened long ago in North Africa. You know what happens? When you don't have the true and living God being presented and His Christ, the Lord Jesus, as the way of salvation, people look to other things. When their hearts are filled with fear and anger and hopelessness and guilt, they want to find a way to tamp that down, to quench those feelings. And what do they turn to? Many turn to drink. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Many in our day turn to dope. They might start off smoking pot. They may go on to smoking meth and crack and taking opioid pills and then shooting up heroin. See, this worldview that says there is no God, there is no Creator, there is no peace offered by Christ, they got to fill that in, that void in somewhere else. And they place their hopes in things that only take them deeper down the rabbit hole of sin and hopelessness. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12 that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Most are hopeless because they fear the future. They have no faith in God. They don't cling to His promises. They don't go to church for the most part and hear preaching from the Bible that would challenge them and encourage them to look to God. So they fear day by day. When something revolutionary happens that upsets their status quo, they have great fear in the temporal. But you know, they go to bed each night. And in the silence and the darkness, when they're alone with their thoughts, they know down deep in their soul that their future is uncertain. And they feel hopeless. This is why it's such a difficult task. The depravity of man and the indoctrination of atheism and evolution and wickedness is so strong. If we're going to inspire hope in others, which given their present condition seems like an insurmountable difficult task, you and I have to understand that hope comes from a divine source. It comes from God. Thomas Brooks, the old Puritan, said, "Men are not born with hope in their hearts. Hope is nobly descended. It is from above. It is a heavenly babe that is formed in the soul of man by the Holy Ghost
And as hope is no natural affection, so hope is no moral virtue, which men may attain by their frequent actions. But hope is the theological virtue that none can give but God. I can remember how darkened my heart was. How blinded my eyes were. How unsatisfied, miserable, and guilt-ridden I was before I was saved. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was trapped in the miry pit of my own making. Then God changed me. God convicted me. The Spirit of God gave me spiritual life. He called me by His grace. He fixed my faith and my affections on Christ alone. God saved me by His grace. Hope was born that day. When God changed my life, He took the burden of my guilt. He broke the bondage of sin that I was in. He set me free from the captivity of Satan. And that day was the first taste that I had ever had of divine hope. And I'm still feasting on it today. 36 years later. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All other hopes are sinking sand, Edward Mote, the poet, the hymn writer said. You see, the Bible says in Titus 3, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Have you tapped into the divine source of hope? The Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you many, I have no fear of the future as far as my soul. Now, I guarantee you, I have little fears. Like something might happen to me that I wouldn't be able to take care of myself. That's a little fear I have. It's a phobia, actually. And I have to constantly ask God to help me not to think about things that I have no control over. But I don't fear the future. I'm going to heaven. I'm trusting Christ. I have been a partaker of this hope that gives me grace to believe that beyond the grave there waits for me a land of joy where all sorrow and disappointment and sin and difficulty, they're all going to be gone, banished forever. I've got real hope. You see, you have to experience the grace and power of God's salvation if you ever hope to inspire hope in others. You must taste that the Lord is gracious if you're to recommend Him to others. The husbandman must first be a partaker of the fruits. You have to know Christ personally. You must know the reality of the security that you have in His finished work. Like the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 18. that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for hope to lay hold, or who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us has entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I'm safe. My anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's counsel is immutable. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He made a way. He put me in the way. He's taking me all the way. I have eternal life because of my hope in Christ. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and hope in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hope is nourished and bolstered by God's Word. I would urge you to read Psalm 119. For sake of brevity today, I'm not going to read Psalm 119. It's the longest book in the Bible. But I would urge you to read it and just mark every time you see the psalmist saying that his hope is in the Word, in God's law, in His statutes, in His precepts. I'm going to tell you, you know why you live frustrated lives at times? Because your faith is not being fed by the Word of God, and you have little hope. When you're not connected to God and His Word, and you're not daily receiving His promises and banking on them and believing them and walking in them and abiding in them. When we go to God in prayer, aren't our prayers born of hope? And this anxious expectation that He has bid us to come boldly to the throne of grace, and we have the grandest privilege in all the world to be able to talk directly to God, to pour out our hearts and make known our requests and tell Him our burdens. That inspires hope. It's this connection with the Lord when it's real. I'm convinced most people go through this life with no feeling of real connection to the Almighty. His Word, His Spirit indwelling. And then relying on His promises. During times of trial, affliction, or hardship, you're going to go through it. We're living in a society where people want to shelter their kids from every little heartache. That's not reality. Life's tough. What did John Wayne say? Life's hard, but it's really hard when you're stupid. And you don't believe God's Word, you don't bank on the promises. Now I'm adding to John Wayne's quote, but it's a fact. You get out in the real world. You interact with people that have no hope, and it'll rub off on you.
And it'll affect you, the way you look at things. It may even cause you bitterness and unbelief.
We got to feast on the promises. Only a divine hope enables us to look to the future with confidence, expecting to enjoy the glories of God for all eternity. It's why Paul wrote in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Only God can give you the grace and hope to conquer the fears of death and eternity. I've got victory in Christ. When I was first saved, one of my favorite songs we would sing was Victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He bought me, He sought me, and He bought me with His redeeming blood. I've got victory. I'm a conqueror. Because I know the Lord Jesus Christ, come what may. And I know, I'm such a young pup, I'm only 57. The older you get, you start saying, I'm only. I guess everything's relative in comparison to Brother Peters. Brother Peters, when's your next birthday come up?
November the 26th.
That's this month. How old are you going to be?
95.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Thank God. Isn't it a joy? Doesn't that give you hope? When you see a brother faithful, serving God, at 95 years of age. Man, that encourages me. Now lastly, to recommend hope to others and inspire hope in them, we have to have a determined resolve to live a life filled with hope. Man, your kids are watching. Your grandkids, they're listening to you. People that you work with. People that you interact with. It troubles me to think that there are people out in this world who think people like me are out to get them. Out to destroy their life. Nothing could be further than the truth. I don't care what race, culture, creed, religion you have. I want you to know Jesus Christ. And to know the grace that is in Him. That crosses everything. We must have, if you're going to inspire hope in others, we have to have supreme confidence in God, His Word, His promises on a daily basis. If the world doesn't see us depending on God in our everyday lives, we have little hope to offer them. See, it's more than just you hearing a sermon and checking the box off that you were there. You got to apply. You got to walk in. The Word has to make a difference in your life if you're going to inspire hope in others and point them to the divine source of hope. Psalm 74 says this. Or Psalm 71. Verse 14. This is powerful.
But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more.
My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. There's somebody that's got confidence in God, that has hope, that's declaring it every day. We have to wait patiently on the Lord in times of triumph. We have to demonstrate to others that we have faith that God will bring us through victoriously. Psalm 130 verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. How you react to affliction, trial, difficulty, hardships that come into your life are going to have a profound impact upon people within your sphere of influence. Do you live hopefully? We have to live above the strife, the hatred, the meanness, the cynicism of a world that is darkened by sin and hopelessness. We must have a determined resolve to have our affections on things above so that we're not mired in the wickedness of this world, and so that when meanness and cynicism is thrown our way, we don't respond in kind. But rather, we show this world, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. And then, we have to live in such a way that we are cheerfully anticipating the future that awaits us in Christ Jesus. Do you live like you're going to heaven? Do you live in anticipation of seeing the one that loved you, that died in your place, that gave you eternal life and forgave you of all your sins? Do you live in anticipation of seeing the one that's loved you with an everlasting love? If so, your heart should beat every day with joy. There ought to be a spring in your step. There ought to be a smile on your face. There ought to be a hope in your heart that enables you to rise above all that may be swirling around you. Because you know that one day you're going to see Him as He is. And you're going to be like Him. All that God would help us to inspire hope in this old, darkened, guilty world. Let's all stand.
Page number 54. Thank you.